Chairman, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me to this interesting conference and to this nice city of Toronto. So today, I would like to talk about an approach to the security of quantum key distribution based on the notion of complementarity. So on the first day of this conference, we heard a beautiful talk about the single particle interferometer, in which you must choose either looking at the wave nature of the object or the particle nature of this object, but you cannot do both at the same time. And Professor Asper even mentioned the relation to the BVA4 protocol of QKD. So I would like to pick up where he has left and would try to convince you that the notion of complementarity indeed has a very deep connection to the quantum key distribution protocols, not only for BVA4 protocol, but for every protocol of QKD. So I'm going to use first half of this talk to explain about the basic ideas and also a prescription to determine the lower bound of the security rate. Then I discuss some merits in this approach, and I also give you some simple examples with the use of practical devices in mind. Okay, so let me start by a simple fact that the secret key, one bit of secret key can be extracted if Alice and Bob share the pair of qubits in this familiar state, so EPL pair of qubits. So this fact is almost trivial because this state is pure state and is an equal superposition of 0 and 1. So I'm going to give you an alternative explanation why this is a secret key using the notion of complementarity. So for that, please recall the argument in the seminal paper by EPL. So if you replace the argument in that paper, then it will look like this. So let us define the goal of z-basis task to be predicting Alice's z-basis outcome on the measurement on this qubit, so whether this spin is up or down. And similarly, the goal of x-basis task to be predicting x value of this qubit, so whether the spin is right or left. So, of course, if Alice and Bob shares this state, then Bob can do this task, and also Bob can do this task by doing suitable measurements here. So, but of course, he cannot achieve the two goals at the same time, because it would violate the uncertainty principle. So we encounter here a pair of kind of mutually exclusive tasks. So this is what I mean by the word complementarity in this talk. So I would like to concentrate on the feasibility of these two tasks. So I dropped the assumption of the initial state here. So from now on, for Bob's part, this can be anything. It doesn't have to be a qubit. And also these measurements can be anything. The only assumption is the feasibility of this pair of tasks. Now, let us consider a weaker version of this x-basis task. So if Bob can predict Alice's x value, then he can surely tell Alice this bit using classical communication. Then Alice can decide whether she should rotate this qubit around z-axis or not in such a way that the final state is always directing right. So x-basis eigenstate 0. So let us define the weaker version of x-basis task to be the goal of it to be help Alice make an x-basis eigenstate without disturbing the z-basis of observable. I mean, only rotating this qubit along the z-axis. So this is the weaker version of the x-basis task. So now our goal is to relate the feasibility of this pair of tasks to the circuit key. But before that, it has turned out that we are allowed to make one more step of realization in the requirement. That is, we are allowed to replace this communication to any quantum communication. So now the X task is, say, Bob is allowed freely to discuss Alice using quantum communication, as long as they don't disturb the Z basis observable here. So just rotating around the Z basis. Now, if this task is feasible and this task is feasible, then we can easily show that these numbers here are a secret key. The proof is rather simple. So imagine Alex makes a measurement in this qubit in the d direction. Then, because the final state of the X-space stuff is the X-space Langmuir state, which is pure, so there should be no correlation to Ebbs system at this point. And also, this state is equal to the position of 0 and 1. So this number should be perfectly random and also has no leak to Ebbs. But this measurement here and this measurement here is actually exactly the same, because this qubit has been only rotated around z-axis, which doesn't affect the basis measurement. So this and this is the same thing. So that means if this is perfectly random, no leak to Ebbs, then this is also the case. That means these guys are a secret key. Now, in a practical QKD, we never achieve a perfect key, but only a very good approximation of it. So we must include imperfections in the story. So what we are able to expect is that the both stuff are feasible without us, except for a small failure probability. So for the z-basis, the definition of failure probability will be straightforward. So just the probability of Bob's guess to be incorrect. And for the x-basis task, say, since the goal is to prepare some pure state, x-basis eigenstate, so the natural definition would be the fidelity or infidelity here. So this quantity has an operational meaning that if someone tests the final state, then the failure would be detected with this probability. Now the question is how these two imperfections translate into the imperfection of the final key. Now the final key is nothing more than this sequence and this sequence, but of course we have to care about the relation to Ebbs system. So it is convenient to write down everything as a quantum state like this. So if the key was ideal, then these probabilities would be uniform, and state of Ebbs would be independent of the value of the key. Now, this imperfection directly translates into the bit error probability in the final key. On the other hand, this imperfection is responsible for the bias and leak, which is captured by the fidelity between the actual key and ideal key after tracing out Bob, so this quantity. Now, this inequality here is almost trivial if you imagine Alice makes a measurement on the z-basis here, because this quantity here is the infidelity before the measurement, and this quantity here is the infidelity after the measurement, but the infidelity never increases in any physical process, so we have this inequality. Now, if you prefer a single parameter to describe the imperfection of the final key, or if you prefer some measure which is composable, then you can easily combine these two imperfections into a single parameter, which is the trace distance between this state and this state. It looks like this. So here, square root appears when you convert from fidelity to trace distance. So this is the very basic tool in a complementarity argument. But normally, say, in a practical situation, we seldom look at the final key directory. So instead, we usually define a sifted key, which has a lot of errors, and try to do an error correction and privacy amplification. So it would be nice to have a prescription which applies to such a case and tells you the lower bound of the key rate. So assume that, say, Alice has sifted key here and Bob also has sifted key here. So first thing you want to do is error correction. So let us assume that Alice tells Bob some clue about her sifted key in such a way that Bob can reproduce Alice's sifted key here. Now, while it is not necessary, but for the sake of simplicity, it is convenient to assume that these hints are encrypted by consuming some length of the sifted key. So this number here is, for example, if this sifted key and this sifted key has a uniform bit error rate, then this number becomes simply a binary entropy of that error rate. Now, Then we ask for the same batch of n qubits, how well Bob can predict the x value. So x basis outcome, which is n bit sequence here. Now, in order to figure out what kind of strategy Bob can take, only condition is not to disturb the d value of these qubits. So as long as this is correct, then Alice and Bob can discuss over quantum channels. So anyway, let us assume that, say, Bob can reduce the number of candidates of this sequence from 2 to the n to 2 to the n times some number hx. So for example, if this estimation has a uniform error rate of epsilon x, then this number becomes just a binary entropy. So anyway, in the following discussion, only this quantity and this quantity matter. So the role of Bob is over here. So I'm going to shrink Bob, except for reminder of consumption here and the size of ambiguity here. Now, what Alice is going to do is private amplification. So let us assume that private amplification is done by multiplying a random invertible n by n binary matrix to this reconciled key, n bit key, then adopts the first n minus m bits. So you shrink the length of the key by m bits. Now, exactly the same calculation can be done by quantum circuit if you use a unitary operation which permutes the z-basis eigenstate according to this rule. Then, if you measure the first n minus m qubits on the z-basis. Now, this same unitary operation permutes the x-basis eigenstate according to another binary matrix, which is connected to this one by this relation. This is nothing more than the famous relation, let's say, C naught in the D basis is the opposite C naught in the X basis. So that's a generalization. Now, imagine in the virtual protocol, Alice measures the last M qubits after this unitary in the direction, in X direction. Now, because C is chosen randomly, so C prime is also chosen random. So this means that, say, this outcome gives you m bits of random parity of this unknown sequence x here. So one bit of parity reduces the number of candidates into its half. So that means if you take m to be slightly larger than this exponent, then Alice will obtain the correct answer. So she can rotate these qubits around the z-axis accordingly to prepare x-basis eigenstate theorem. So now we have the final key coming from the z measurement on this qubit, but at the same time, this qubit can be driven to x-basis eigenstate. That means this key is secure. Now the final key rate here is that the yield, n minus m, m is this one, minus this consumption, so we arrive at this familiar-looking formula. Okay, so let me discuss some merits in this approach. So first one is its applicability. So what I have shown you is that to say if both of the tasks are feasible within this small failure probability, then the final imperfection is nicely bounded like this. But interestingly, opposite is also true in a sense. So whenever the secret key can be extracted with some imperfection, then you can always find a pair of tasks that are feasible with imperfections nicely bounded like this. So this means that, say, for every QKD protocol, at least there exists an explanation in the framework of complementarity. So the only question is whether you can find it or not. And this two-way relation also tells us some insight about the operational measures of quantum correlation. So we may ask, starting from the n copies of some bipartite state rho AB, say how many qubits we can find for which these pair of tasks are feasible. Then we can use this number to define an asymptotic, say, operationally defined measure of quantum correlation, which I denote YQ here, of this bipartite state. So it's a kind of measure in terms of complementarity. On the other hand, distillable key, a KD is an operationally defined measure in terms of the property of monomics, exclusive correlation, which is defined as the length of the extractable secret key. Now, the fact that these imperfections are bound in each other, independent of the size of the relevant Hilbert space, implies that these two numbers are always equal. So this means we have a quantitative connection between these two perspectives. Now, if you change the condition here a little bit, I mean, say, if you only allow Alice and Bob to communicate over classical communication here, then things change a little bit. So now we can show that whenever these two tasks are feasible, then we can show that the same number of EPR pairs can be extracted with imperfection bounded like this. And we can also show the opposite. So this means that if we similarly define the measure, operational defined measure, YC, so C here signifies the classical communication here, then this guy now coincides with the distillable entanglement. This is the number of EPL pairs extractable from row AB. So now we have a connection between complementarity and entanglement in difference to EPL pairs. So we have the kind of relation here and relation here. So for example, say this guy and this guy actually refer to a completely different thing, and even the units is different. But still, we can consider a difference between the two because this can be translated into this scenario, then this has a very clear operational meaning. So just a difference in the nature of the allowed resource of communication. And by the way, we have another operational measure of the property of monomy, which looks like this. So here, this is fundamental P, but this can be interpreted as a length of the perfectly correlated classical bit, which is extractable from row ABE, between Alice and Bob and Eve together. And this guy here is the extractable classical perfect correlation between Alice and Eve alone, so without help of Bob. So difference here somehow describes the amount of exclusive correlation between Alice and Bob, similarly to this double key. So the only difference between this measure and this measure is, in this measure, say Alice and Bob must create something perfect. But in this measure, Alice and Eve must create something perfect. So that's the difference. Now, let it turn out that this guy here is equal to entanglement cost, which is the, say, how many EPL pairs we must invest in order to create this state. So somehow we have a nice triad here. And for example, say, okay, so the amount of irreversibility in the entanglement translation now has a new meaning that it is always described by the sum of two gaps. So this gap is the gap in the complementarity scenario, and this gap is some gap in the monomy property. Okay. Now, another merit in this approach here is that the final security statement is obtained directly from this quantity, which is operationally defined, which is just the failure probability of a protocol. So thanks to this fact, for example, we can treat the coherent attacks relatively easily. So in usual QKD schemes, say, after a bunch of states are shared by Alice and Bob, then Alice and Bob pick up some random samples to do the test. Then Alice and Bob are going to use rest of the system to generate the final key, which may be diagrammed like this. So state here, they do random permutation, then the first part they use for the test, and the rest they're going to use for creation of the final key. Now, in the complementary approach, say, in order to prove the security of this final key, we replace this task to a complementary task, then ask what is the failure probability. But whatever this test and this task are, these can be regarded as a big field view measurement, which just tells you success or not. So this means that this parameter can be written like this using the state after the random permutation. Now, this simple structure allows us to use a rather old technique to treat coherent attacks. So let's say we have done the security analysis for individual attacks. That means, say, suppose that we already have shown that, say, this probability here is exponentially small for any IID state. But now the question is, say, what about the general state? But we have analyzed the composition of Hilbert space, tensor product Hilbert space, into irreducible representation of unitaries and irreducible representation of prime symmetry group. And the crucial point is that only the representation for permutations has an exponential size. So the size here and the summon here is polynomial. But after the symmetrization, random permutation, then state here becomes, say, for this part, this just becomes the maximum mixed state. So this means that, say, all it can do to deviate from the individual attack is to tweak the polynomial part. So you can easily show that the general probability here is at most the factor of polynomial larger than this one. So if this is exponentially small, then this guy is also exponentially small. Now, the same fact here also means that sometimes the security is established even without knowing much about what is actually going on. That is the case for a BB84 protocol or its entanglement-based version of BBM92 protocol. So in these protocols, Alice and Bob switches between two bases and observes each error rate. Now, let us assume that Alice's part is ideal, so ideal qubit measurement here. But for Bob's part, so we assume almost nothing except for the assumption that the detection efficiency is basis independent. So here, these systems do not have to be qubits. So any system and any measurement here. So just this level of Z and X is just a nominal thing. Now, in order to extract the final key from Z basis shifted key, we would ask, say, how well Bob can predict the X value of these qubits. But the answer is given to you in an experimental way. Because if you look at the data, you have this. So this exactly tells you that this can be possible with this error rate. Strictly speaking, the condition of the independency of the detection efficiency assures that this is a fair sampling of this one. So asymptotically, this should equal to this one. So we have this key rate formula, which is exactly the same for the case where Bob has an ideal apparatus. So this particular case, say, relaxing the detection model does not change the key rate. So that's something interesting. And if you don't like this assumption, then if you drop this assumption, then say you must reduce the key rate. So you can find such an argument in this paper. Okay. Next, I'd like to talk about the six-state protocol, which is proposed by one of the architects, proposed by chairman. So these are BB84 protocol and key rate for the Z-basis shifted key. And if you add one other basis, which is the Y direction, and measure the error rate, then you can improve the key rate to this one. And here, this number is something like the conditional entropy, which is defined like this. So here, the epsilon naught is the X error rate when there is no Z error, and epsilon 1 is X error rate when there isn't Z error. Then this guy is the average entropy. So for example, okay, so then the value of epsilon 0 and epsilon 1 here can be determined from the observation of this error rate, because this guy is the sum of this part and this part. So combining these three numbers, we can determine these quantities, probabilities. For example, if these rates are equal and very, very small, then the only way to distribute the errors is in this way. So this means that, say, this number is approximately the binary entropy of epsilon over 2, which is obviously better than this one. Now, this is nice, but you might wonder that this kind of argument is particularly, say, incompatible with the complementarity argument. Because the statement like X conditioned on Z is exactly the one you want to avoid in the complementarity argument. But you can treat this problem if you use the fact that we are allowed to use quantum communication in this virtual protocol. So the trick is this. So let us imagine in the virtual protocol, Bob's going to use ancilla qubits prepared in a Z basis argument, so directing up. Then apply C node here, then send this qubit to Alice's size, and Alice applies C node here, then measure this qubit on the Z basis. Right? So introduce this kind of trick. Then, of course, if you look at the outcome of this Z basis measurement, then you learn that whether the Z value of these qubits are the same or not. So whether Z error occurs or not. And of course, this gate introduces random rotation around the Z axis on the disk qubit. But fortunately, exactly the same rotation applies to disk qubit, so that this doesn't affect the X error. So you may safely, say, define the error rate, X basis error rate, when this outcome is zero, and X basis error rate when this outcome is one. So you can just calculate the ambiguity, then you arrive at this exactly the same E rate formula. So finally, okay, so in order to handle practical apparatuses, then sometimes we need the aid from the quantum optics. So please recall that the security argument, which I discussed today, works when Alice has an ideal qubit measurement, but Bob can be almost anything. So that is fine for the BB84 protocol, because in this case, those pulses are actually directly come from the light source. So it is relatively easy to assign a virtual qubit and a virtual measurement here. On the other hand, in the BBM92 protocol, say, actually the source is somewhere in the middle, then Alice and Bob both do the measurement, actually. So in this case, at least for one of the sites, so say Alice's site, we need some relation, connection between actual measurement, which is done by imperfect detectors here, to the ideal measurement on the qubit. And similarly, in the case of six-state protocol, although only Bob does the measurement, but in this case, we need qubit here in order to enjoy the benefit of six-state protocol. So in this case, again, we need some relation to the actual measurement. And these problems are mostly a problem in quantum optics because the bosonic nature of photons comes into play. So the detectors frequently used in the experiment is a threshold detector, which just tell you whether photons have arrived or not. So it doesn't tell you how many photons have arrived. So just tell you click or no click. Then a popular configuration is placed using two threshold detectors placed behind the polarizer and also have an optics to change between the bases. And here, any number of photons in any number of modes might come in. So the question is whether you can regard this as an ideal qubit measurement. Now, for this setup, there are two distinct approaches. And one is the squashing approach. In this case, say, anytime you see the double counting, so both of the detectors click, then somehow you disguise as if you obtain a proper outcome by randomly assigning the bit size. Then these guys can be able to show that every detection event here can be regarded as this. So this is nice. This can be used as a tool independent from the protocol. On the other hand, this approach needs some luck. That means, say, for the case of BB84, you are lucky, so this relation holds. But in the case of six-state case, for this setup, you don't have this relation. On the other hand, in a separating approach, say, the event of double counting is made public. And that information is used to estimate, say, how many fractions of these detection events can be regarded as this ideal one. Now, in this case, that estimation method becomes protocol dependent. So a little bit complicated in this one. But the idea of this approach can apply to the six-stage process. Now, the funny thing is that this, say, key rate derived from both approaches for the BB84 or BBN96 protocol is different. And neither is better than the other. I mean, when the error rate is small, then the increase in error in this process actually have a big penalty here. So this rate becomes larger than this one. But when the error rate becomes higher, then this guy could be higher than this one. So this suggests that there might be another approach which is better than both of the approach. So I think I'm used up the time. So as a summary, I would like to repeat that the complementarity argument is a quite useful tool for the security tools of the QKD, with some merits listed here. And also, it helps to clarify the nature of quantum correlation in a rather quantitative way. And I hope the notion of complementarity is also helpful in analyzing the communication protocols other than QKD. So thank you for attention.
So you prove the key rate for six-stage protocol using this complementary idea. But you also mentioned the instruction model is not valid for six-stage. So I'm just wondering, I mean, what does it mean? I mean, so what's the connection between your result and the instruction?
Oh, I see. Okay, so in the case of six-stage protocol, even in the complementarity approach, still you need qubit here. So that means you need the connection between actual setup and so this partial setup is composed of ideal qubit. And unfortunately, there is no simple relation like this. So equality relation here doesn't hold for six-stage protocol. So you must have something a little bit more complicated than that in order to assure somehow establish this kind of relation. But still, you can do this.
Okay, that's quite specific.